Welcome to today's podcast, another installment in our continuing series of strategic planning topics for business owners. My name is Steve Young, and I lead a team that focuses on the unique and specialized needs of business owners and those running closely held companies, where our goal is to advise our clients on different options, help them articulate their goals, and chart a path to the future. In keeping with that theme, I have asked one of my colleagues, Mike Haizu, out of our Cincinnati office to join us today. Mike is a senior vice president for UBS Wealth Management and leads a team known as 3-Point Wealth Advisors. He's going to be joining us today. We're going to be talking about a very unique opportunity that's often overlooked by business owners, and it's an opportunity to leverage wealth and continue to grow as you build your business. So let me bring Mike on now, and welcome, Mike. Thank you for joining us today.
Steve, it's my pleasure. I look forward to the conversation.
Fantastic. Before we get started in the primary discussion on captives, I wonder if you might take a minute or two and just give our listeners a little background about yourself, how you got to UBS, and how you found your way to this specific niche.
Sure, happy to. The 3-Point Wealth Advisor team, we've been at UBS for over 30 years, and we work with business owners as they create, grow, and transition their business. And very much like your business, we bring in the experts to help our clients, and we're the experts at finding the experts. Our niche, our expertise, is in managing the assets for captive insurance companies. We have over 100 that we manage, and we originally got started in the business because one of our private clients was president of an insurance company, and he was heavily involved in his fraternity nationally. And they put together what is now, it's a group captive, which is now roughly 30 fraternities. And we manage the assets for that organization.
Thanks for sharing that, Mike. Let me ask you, some of our listeners may be familiar with the term captive insurance company, but may not know exactly what that is. Can you give us just a quick definition of what a captive insurance company is?
Sure. Basically, it is a way of managing your risk more effectively. So commercial insurance is very important, especially for catastrophes. But everybody's business is a little bit different. The risks are a little bit different. And what is common are three areas: deductibles, risks that are expensive to insure in the commercial market, and then risks where there isn't insurance coverage available. So a captive insurance company allows you to, first of all, raise the deductibles. Second of all, cover the risks that are expensive, but instead pay yourself. So let me just use a metaphor here. If we take our auto insurance, and there was a time I was spending $600 a year for my car, and I had a $250 deductible. When I increased the deductible to $1,000, my premiums were lowered to $400. So that $200 in savings, what you do if we just add three zeros to this, and we call this your business insurance, that $200,000 in savings in premiums that you're not paying the commercial insurance company, you now pay that into your own insurance company that you formed. It's called a captive insurance company. Then let's just say hypothetically, I had $2,000 wheels on my car, and I don't, but if I did and they wanted to charge me $500 to insure those wheels, well, that's really expensive. Adding the three zeros, take that $5,000 in premiums, put that into my own insurance company to cover that $2 million risk. And then finally, most people don't know, if a rodent gets into your engine, eats the wires, and it blows up your engine, that's not covered. So let's just hypothetically say there are $300 or $300,000 worth of premiums that can be put into your own insurance company. So we take the first $200,000, the next $500,000, the final $300,000. We have $1 million that we've put into your own company, captive insurance company. It's your own profit center. So in a nutshell, that's what captive insurance is.
Very interesting. Who would be a good candidate for captive insurance opportunities?
Well, just like all insurance, especially for catastrophes, you hope catastrophe insurance is a waste of money. With your insurance for that you're managing your risk in your business, you still need to have that catastrophe insurance. If a tornado comes and wipes out your business, you need to have that with a commercial carrier. Now, if you feel like the rest of your insurance is a waste of money, well, because you manage your risk well, then those are good candidates. Now, because the IRS is involved in this now, another flag that they have is if your revenues as a company are above $30 million, you are another good candidate for captive insurance companies. If your revenues are under $30 million, I probably would wait.
Very good. So in essence, if I'm hearing you correctly, what happens with this is as a business would actually set up a separate, or maybe the owners of a company would set up a separate entity, separate legal entity, and the amount of money that they're saving from the deductible would be transferred to the captive. And with that money over there, you basically hold it in reserve until you have some type of claim. But while that's over in, on the captive's balance sheet, it could be free to be invested in certain types of assets. Did I get that right?
That is correct, yes.
And are there any kinds of restrictions that you must be aware of as far as what you can and cannot invest in once it's inside the captive?
Sure. Well, first of all, you want to make sure that you have enough cash in that insurance company to pay expenses and claims. Then you can start to portion off pieces. We typically do it monthly. And the actual investment portion, it needs to be liquid and diversified and designed for long-term growth. And you can do that because you have enough cash sitting there to pay claims and expenses.
Okay. So if a company does a good job managing its risk and doesn't have a lot of insurance claims or hazards that cause more significant claims, they can actually accumulate a certain amount of money in a captive over a period of time. Is there a limit to how much you can put into a captive on an annualized basis?
There is a limit for what's called an 831B. For an 831A, there is no limit. So an 831B, the limit is $2.3 million in premiums per year. I'll go ahead and add on to that also. There is, in practical terms, a minimum. If you wouldn't be able to get your premiums to at least $500,000, because of the expenses of running it, I haven't found that those have been successful captives.
Well, that's very interesting. So is there any type of liability on the captive side? Do you have to hold the money in reserve for a period of time, or can it? How does that work from the captive's point of view on their balance sheet?
Yes, it actually, every domicile, so these have to be set up in a state, typically Delaware, Utah, Vermont, there are a lot of different states out there that do this. They have their nuances. Every captive manager who really quarterbacks these, they have their nuances. And then clients obviously have their preferences as well. So it really depends on those three. And so it's different for everybody.
Okay. So hearing you make this explanation about how this works and the interface between the operating company and the captive insurance company, I start to hear a couple different themes in my mind, one being from a protection standpoint, it's helping you reduce cost, allocate funds to take care of some self-insurance opportunities if necessary. Also, there's an investment component in there because if you don't have a claim in a given year, that money can be invested and grown either in an income-producing type of investment vehicle like a fixed income portfolio or equity portfolio if you want to try to get some appreciation and growth. But it also seems like there might be an element of wealth transfer in there as well. Am I going down the right path with this?
There used to be a play where you could put these in trust, but the IRS got onto that play and eliminated it. It's probably a good time for me to say the IRS gave these a lot of attention over the last 5 years because there's been a lot of using them as tax dodges and not using them to manage risk. Hopefully in this conversation, I've been reiterating manage risk. So you want to make sure you're using it as a true insurance company.
I appreciate you bringing that up because that was one of the questions I've received from time to time when talking to companies and owners about this idea. I'm glad you shared that particular piece of information. That's very good to know. Just kind of backtracking a little bit, Mike, we talked about who would be a great candidate for this, and you had thrown out a couple numbers, one being a revenue size company where, you know, if you're above a certain amount of revenue, it makes sense. If you're below a certain dollar amount in revenue, it probably wouldn't be as cost effective. Can you talk a little bit more about that, and what does it take to actually set up one of these?
The other number I had used is you want to make sure you qualify for at least $500,000 in premiums, because this is going to cost you annually at least $35,000 to run, most likely $70,000 to $75,000 to run. And it makes sense if your premiums that you're able to put in are north of $500,000.
Okay. And then the expense you just referred to, what is entailed in that?
These are just ballpark numbers. It is the captive manager setting up, running it. It is the claims management and the audits and the tax returns. And if there is a pool involved, you have to pay a fee to the pool. So there are just little pieces that all wrap together that we've found. $70,000 is really a number to expect to pay.
Okay. And are there third-party managers that run captives for clients similar to what you would see in a 401k plan, or does the owner actually set that management team up for the plan?
Great question. There are a lot of different players involved, and they all have expertise. One of them is a TPA, third-party administrator. And it really, everything centers around the captive manager, and there are about 50 of them out there that we have knowledge of and connection with. We actually work with 15 of them. So we attend 3 conferences a year where we understand all the different players involved and make sure that we are dealing with the captive managers and the actuaries and the accountants and the attorneys that all play in the black and white world.
Hearing you say that makes me think about when I was first introduced to captive insurance companies, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I noticed that a lot of companies were doing these offshore. Is that still something of interest, or has that kind of been pushed to the back now with some more IRS scrutiny?
Excellent question. There are plenty of captives that are going offshore. Most of them are now being formed onshore in the United States. And UBS and most of our competitors, it's very difficult to find an investment firm that will allow you to have the assets managed if you are an offshore captive.
Okay, very good. So again, there's some size limitations that make sense if you're above or below, whether it's feasible or not to move into that direction. But other than that, is there any industry types that are better suited or not as well suited for this type of structure?
Well, let me ask the business owners on the call, did your premiums go up 20 to 30% this year? If they did, you are in a industry where the commercial insurance companies are raising your costs and your benefit may not go up proportionally. So if you are one of those companies, I really think you should consider having at least a feasibility study done. And actually, that's the first step, is we would introduce you to 1, 2, or 3 captive managers or captive consultants. They tend to work at the captive manager, so that's why I use those interchangeably. We would set up a call with Steve, myself, and that manager and you. Then we would talk about your business, your risks. If you like what you hear, then you set up a feasibility study. And that can be a full enterprise risk assessment throughout your business, or it can be as simple as reviewing all of your current policies and then coming back with some recommendations on the commercial policies and or setting up a captive insurance company.
Thanks for bringing us through that process. I was going to ask you how we would go about doing that, and that's very great. We're going to wrap up here. Again, thank you, Mike, for joining us. I want to thank all of the listeners that tuned in today. As I said, this is a very interesting topic. If there's anything we discussed in this podcast today that resonates with you, or if you have any questions about any related topics, feel free to reach out to myself at 317-816-1830. You can also reach me by email, and that's stephen.young@ubs.com. If you have any questions for Mike, I'll make sure we get Mike in touch with you. And if you have an opportunity that you want us to take a look at, if you're interested in maybe putting together a feasibility study, we'd be happy to talk to you about that as well. Mike, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve. I enjoyed it.
All right. And everybody else out there, thanks for tuning in and have a great afternoon. Thank you.